Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
And went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and was speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent in those days and told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Spirit. Amen. I want you to imagine with me for a moment what it might feel like to have Jesus ask you if you would pray with him. What would it be like to have the Son of God say, "Come and pray with me"? You see, Jesus normally, throughout his ministry, at the end of a long day of teaching and healing, he would say to the disciples, "I'm going away to pray." And he would go off by himself, oftentimes up a hill or a mountain. And he would pray all night. Sometimes in the morning, he would go back to the disciples, but sometimes they ran around frantically looking for him. But on one particular day, Jesus was going off to pray, and he turned and he asked three of his disciples if they would come with him. Only three of them. Peter and James and John. I can only imagine what they felt like when he turned to them and said, "Do you want to come with me?" A little scared, honored, maybe a little bit in awe or trepidation. So they went up the mountain with Jesus to pray with him. Today is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. Do you remember that at the beginning of this season, I told you what the word Epiphany means? Does anyone remember what it means? Showing, right. So every single Sunday in this season, Jesus has shown himself to us. And today, on the last Sunday of Epiphany, we are offered the greatest showing. You see, when Peter and James and John began to pray with Jesus, Jesus showed himself to them. It says in the gospel that Jesus' face began to change. It's a very mysterious thing how his face changed, and the gospel doesn't tell us more than it just began to look different. And then his body began to radiate light. And God ends up speaking from out of a cloud, very similar words to the words that God spoke at the first showing that we read on the first Sunday of this season of Epiphany at the baptism of Jesus. God says, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." I went online this week and did a little research. It turns out that in every major world religion, if you look deeply at the people who pray the most, the people who spend years and years in prayer, in every tradition, they are described as emanating light. In fact, if you look at religious art, you can see sometimes people are depicted with flames coming out of their heads, sometimes with a circle around them, like a halo. But without exception, those people who practice the most, who become closest to God, are depicted as radiating light. Some people who have almost died and returned talk about seeing light, walking towards light. Sometimes when I'm with someone that's dying, I find myself saying, "Go to the light." So there's no question that Jesus was encountering God in a very potent way and becoming God and radiating light. Do you remember how Moses climbed up Mount Sinai? And in the Old Testament, we heard that Moses sees the backside of God, or the real better translation is in Hebrew, is he sees where God just was. But God is so bright that Moses cannot look directly at God. But after this encounter, Moses' face shines with such radiance that he has to cover it over with a cloth. When he goes down the mountain, the people are so frightened by his radiance that he covers himself with a veil. And only when he's talking with God will he take it off and emanate light. When Jesus is praying, Moses and Elijah appear on either side of him too. So there's not only light, but he has company. Sometimes when people are dying, they start talking to their loved ones who've already died, as if they're right there. So there's reason to believe that when we're fully in communion with God, when we're really in God's presence, we're also in the presence of the people that we love who have died. And so Jesus stands with Moses and Elijah, the great teachers and prophets, and he talks to them. This mystical experience, this encounter with God, I believe was probably the height of Peter's life. Never had he experienced anything like it. And Peter's response to this encounter is very important for you and for me. Because Peter responds just like all humans respond to God. Peter says, "This is awesome. Let me make three dwelling places, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus." Peter wanted to make something. He wanted to have something permanent to hold on to. Now, this was not unprecedented. All of the holy people in Peter's tradition had tended to make something when they encountered God. Think about Abraham. When he encountered God, he would build an altar. He would put these stones on top of each other and leave them at the spot and name the spot. Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, built an altar, put the stones in a pile and named the place. And what do we do when someone we love dies? We bury the body and then we put this big rock on top, right? And we write their names on it. Why? Because it's the most permanent thing we can do. Because we want something to hold on to that reminds us of our loved one. So we put a big rock coming out of the ground. Peter wanted this experience to stay just like it was. And if you read the gospel carefully, there is this important phrase that I glossed over for years. But it says that Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking together about his departure. They were talking about the fact that Jesus was going to have to leave them, that he was going to die. And when Peter heard that, he did not want that. He wanted to hold on to his master. And so he offers to build these three dwellings, and in doing so, he distorts the experience. God has to come down from a cloud and say, yelling at him, "This is my son. Listen to him. You are so busy trying to hold on to your love that you're not listening." Did you know that the divorce rate in Duval County is over 70%? I've thought about that a lot and wondered why. Why do married people get divorced. Sometimes there is a terrible situation that has to be ended. But many of the times, it is simply that this couple fell in love and they wanted to hold on to that experience. So they hold on to the person they love as if that person will never change and their feelings about them should never change. But love is not like that. Love moves and changes and alters and shifts, just like everything in our world and just like our Creator. And so when that love changes from an in-love, gaga feeling to something else, many people cannot tolerate that. They think that the love is gone. When it may not in fact be gone, it may be harder. There may be a lot more work involved, but it may actually be getting deeper. I watch as the celebrities get divorced and marry again and get divorced and marry again, and they're trying to hold on to some romance. And when it goes away, they move and go on to somebody else. We cannot hold on to the ones that we love or we hurt them. We distort the love. My husband and I joke with each of our three boys, we've wanted to put a brick on top of their heads. Keep them at about second grade or so. They're so cute, they're awesome. But if I did that, I would hurt them. And I also would never get to know the fullness of who God is calling them to be as men. And so I think we're called to interact with one another and with God by opening our minds and realizing that every day our loved ones are different. They are changed. To listen to who they are each and every day. And if you think that your prayer life should be the same every day, well, good luck. It won't be God that you're praying to. Why is it that we think that we can bottle happiness and store it away, hold on to it in some kind of a box? Maybe it's because in America, we're told that we can buy it, right? Jesus did not say, "Be like me." He said, "Follow me. Follow me." You know, the ancient Tzaddik rabbis would pick a student, a follower, and that person had to leave their life, everything, and follow the rabbi. If the rabbi went to the market, they went to the market. If the rabbi went home, they went home. It could be very mundane, but they had to get up and move. That was part of following, an essential part of following. You cannot follow Christ if you stay where you are. He will walk on ahead and out of sight. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means being open to the fact that everything changes every day. You change, your loved ones change. God is moving and changing. And instead of trying to hold on to the way you want things to be, to realize that that holding on puts you in bondage. And if you're going to be truly free to follow, you must let go. And every morning when you wake up, ask God, where should I go with you today? Where should I move? For I want to follow you. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ, be our light. For the people of God throughout the world and for all of us gathered together here, that we will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying, Christ, be our light. For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together, saying, Christ, be our light. For our families, friends, and neighbors, for all who we love, those who live and those who have died, especially Christine Boney and Jane Faulkner, let us pray together saying, Christ be our light. For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they may be helped and comforted, let us pray together saying, Christ be our light. For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God. For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God.
Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom. And grant that we, your servants, who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Amen.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring you to eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. I promise I won't make you do a thing, but if you would raise your hand if you're new, then we would know that you're new and we could welcome you. Is anybody visiting today? I see. Thank you. Welcome. Okay. Good to see you. Good to see you. There is a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we will send you our e-newsletter. So glad you're with us today. It's hard to believe that Lent is almost here. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the 40 days in which Jesus walked out into the desert and prayed. And we will have services at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. And I encourage each and every one of you to think of something special to do during these 40 days, whether it be a special time with God, maybe giving up something that you really don't need, like lots of candy or caffeine. Or it could be working for the poor or being more generous with a charity. Whatever it is, I hope you'll think of doing something special that you decide during those 40 days. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have an amazing organ concert sponsored by the Beaches Fine Arts Series. In your bulletin, Tim Tuller has written about this organist, and he is quite a phenomenon. The renowned Paul Jacobs. He's one of the most revered organists of our time. The church should be full, so come a little early, but it is free, and we'd love to see you here at 4 o'clock. For those of you who have done the retreat called Curcio, there is an Altrea, a reunion gathering this afternoon at 5 at Redeemer Church. St. John's Men's Fellowship Group is starting back up tomorrow, and we want you to come. Any man is invited, and you can bring something to grill. Sides are provided. Their motto is bring a steak and a friend. And the night before Lent begins, because Lent is often a fast, there is a tradition of having a big party the night before Lent. That's where Mardi Gras comes from. So Tuesday night, we are going to have a Shrove Tuesday pancake supper with all the trimmings, lots of great chocolate syrup and everything to put on your pancakes. So come on to the church, 5:30 on Tuesday night. And last but not least, as you're thinking of your Lenten discipline, every weekday at 12:10, this cathedral offers a worship service. They're very beautiful, small worship services here, and we invite you to attend. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You have made us rulers of the creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those of every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection and as we await his days. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the great name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you. Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Christ, give us your light. Give us the grace to share it in the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Amen.